We want to look at the point number 13 in the messages entitled, Blessed is the Man. This is all the times in the Bible that this term is found. And tonight, look in the book of Romans, chapter number 4, and verse number 8. And this is a wonderful message, a wonderful thought that Paul presents here to the people at Rome. The 13th time that the phrase, Blessed is the man, appears in the Bible. Romans 4 and verse number 8. Romans 4 and verse number 8. The Bible said here in this place, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is a great, great thought. But sometimes we don't understand exactly what Paul is saying if we don't understand the words that he's using. And sometimes the word impute is one that is missed. But the word impute and the word count is from the same Greek word. Okay, the word count and the word impute. Now, let's read this. In Romans 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see that word counted there? That's the same word as impute. So don't let that throw you at all. That's why they use it. In verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace. The word reckoned there means calculated to. All right? So, now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned or counted as for grace, but of debt. So if a person works, then that's the same thing as saying that you have to be have a lot. Well, the reward is not reckoned of grace. In verse number 5. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And this is the way it is. Because faith is greater than works. Faith, believing what God said, is much, much greater than any kind of work at all. The Bible said in verse 6, Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, say, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Then he says in verse number 8, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. All right? Now, what is he talking about here? In Romans chapter 4, what is he talking about? It'd be real good if we would read the verses before that and the verses after that, so we could get a real good idea of what we're talking about. Now, read this. In Romans chapter 1, what's he talking about here? And he starts out by saying in Romans chapter number 1 that all holiness is given to us by God. He says in verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, that is, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Alright? He says in verse 17, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Alright? Then he goes on and talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is what he's saying here. And then in the latter part of Romans 1, he talks about a wicked people. He begins in verse number, about verse 21, and down through the end of the chapter, and he gives three stages here of people who do not do what God wants them to do at all. You see in verse number 23, he said he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. See? And then in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And then in verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. So he's talking here about that God who looks upon people, and God is totally different than we are. God is absolutely, totally pure. There's no sin at all about Him. And we're full of sin. Alright? And so, this way He looks at it. Then the Bible says, in verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. So, they were, you know about homosexuality here, and all that kind of stuff that you take today as being normal. But it's not. It's abnormal. It's abnormal altogether so. And the Bible goes on and talks about how that they're filled with all kinds of wickedness and unrighteousness and all kinds of things going on. And even though these people know the judgment of God, they don't do the judgment of God. They don't listen to it. They actually rebel against it. That's what the Bible said. So that's in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he starts out this way, verse 1. He says that you don't have an excuse. In Romans 2, verse 1, he said, there is no excuse for this. We condemn other people, but we ourselves, we're sinners just like they are. And he goes on and talks about all of that. In chapter 3, he talks about how that all are sinners in the sight of Almighty God. Nobody has anything at all unless God gives it to them. That's the way it is. And in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said this, what did Abraham have? This is how he starts out here. What shall we say about Abraham, who as pertaining to the flesh hath found? And don't leave out these little words. As pertaining to the flesh. Don't leave those out. It's very important that we might see what he's talking about here. Abraham, you see, was no different than we are. He was a sinner, but he found grace, he found faith, and he trusted Christ. Alright? He said in verse number 2 of Romans 4, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath worldly glory. And this is the way it is. You think about people today that say that they help God save themselves. People do say that. People say that by their good works. They say, I'm working as hard as I can work, and I'm doing everything I can do to help God. Listen, nobody can help God. Because he's the only one that can help us. I mean, that's the truth. He's the only one that can help us. Somebody would say, well, I've been baptized. So, if you weren't saved before you were baptized, you just got wet. I mean, that's it. That's all you got. Somebody would say, I'm a member of the church. So, Judas was too. Judas Iscariot, you remember him? I think he was lost. You must be born again. Peter also sinned. He denied the Lord three times. But Peter was a saved man. And he went out and wept bitterly because he sinned against God. He knew that. All right? And so, what Peter had was something that Judas did not have. He had salvation. But the Bible here talks about Abraham. He said, in verse number 2, He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he can glory in his works. Right? That's what it says. But then it says, but not before God. So what he's saying is that Abraham, he can boast all he wants to about his works. But not before God. Why? Because all the works that a man does is no good at all. The only thing we've got, we've got to trust God. That's what he's saying here. We've got to trust God and not depend on ourselves one bit. Because if you trust in yourself one little bit, you're not trusting in God. Salvation is when... salvation is a gift to us. It's not something that we earn. We say that 1,000 times, we'll say it 1,000 more times, but salvation is a gift that God gives to us. We don't earn it. It's a gift. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's what He wants to give to us. Look here. In verse number 3, the Bible talks about Abraham. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. This is when Abraham was saved. I firmly believe that's so. This is when Abraham was saved, when he believed God. And the Bible says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Or that is, it was imputed to him for righteousness. When Abraham believed God, it was settled. His salvation, his eternity was settled. Alright? Because at that point, he was given the righteousness of Christ. He was given that. He didn't earn it. He didn't work for it. He didn't deserve it any more than we do. He was given. Salvation is a gift. It's given to us. If you're lost today, you can be saved. If you are lost, you can be saved, but you'll be saved. Only way you can be saved, the only way you can ever be saved is when you realize that you have to accept the free gift that He gives to you. That's it. I mean, salvation is a gift from God. It's not something that you do. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's a gift that He gives unto you. And Abraham believed God. All right? Did he work? No. Let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis. And let's look at this just a little while. In Genesis chapter 15. And this is the scripture that Paul is referring to in Romans. In Romans 4 and verse number 3, when he quotes here, he says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right? Now, Paul is referring back to Genesis chapter 15. This is the time when Abraham believed God. The Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and it counted him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15 and verse number 6. When, I'll tell you something. Abraham, his name was Abram at the time, but he was a lost man and he was a good man. But all of his good works didn't save his eternal soul. No. Listen, you can be as good as you can be. You can be better than anybody in the world, except Christ, of course. But your good works will save you. That you, it will be. Look at this. As a lost man, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12 and verse number 1, notice this, that Abram, as a lost man, heard God speaking to him. As a lost man. Somebody would say, God don't ever talk to a lost person. Yes, He does.
I know there's people that believe that God doesn't talk to lost people. And I believe, I know those people that believe that God doesn't want to hear any sinner's prayer. I tell you what, God wants lost people to pray to Him. God talks to lost people. I believe that. I may be a thought few and far between, but that's what I believe. All right? And here's the reason. In Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, What? Better read that again. Now the Lord had what? Had said unto Abraham. How did He talk to him? God spoke to Abraham. And He told him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your country. I want you to go into your to leave your kindred and leave your father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. God told Abram that when he was lost. Because God knew. God knew he would be saved. God knows everything there's anything there's no about. He says in verse 2, he says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and that shall be a blessing. I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Boy, that's absolutely the truth. Notice what he says in verse number 3. Notice this. That God said to Abram when he was lost, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You think he meant that? I think he did. I think that God meant for Abram to leave, to get away, to go by himself, and he said, I will give you, and I will make you a blessing, and all the world that knows you will know me. That's what he's saying. In verse number 4, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot was with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And he took Lot with him. And that was a real problem. But notice, it doesn't stop there. In chapter 13, the Bible said this. And here God is speaking to a lost man. But he's speaking to one of his... God knows who he's going to save and who he's not going to. Alright? So it's okay if you're lost to ask God for what you're asking for. He hears your prayer. If you think God will hear you, why don't you try Him out sometime? If you think that God doesn't hear your prayer, then why don't you just ask God about that? Why don't you just ask Him? Lord, are you real? Ask God and see what He says. Will God impress anything upon you at all? Or will He not answer you at all? I tell you what, God answered mine. I was lost, but He answered my prayer. Many times He did that for me. When I was lost, I knew I was lost. But He's dealing with me, wanting me to trust Him. In chapter 13, in verse 14, in Genesis 13:14, the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place without art, northward and southward and westward and eastward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Did God mean what He said? He sure did. I mean, God spoke here to a lost man. I read to you time in Genesis 15, verse number 6, where that Paul said that Abram was saved. All right?
in chapter 14, Genesis 14, we find here that God blessed a lost man. Can God bless a lost man? Why, sure He can. God has a way of dealing with people. Even people... I want to say, even people that know the truth. God has a way of dealing with people. In chapter 14, we find here that there was a battle here that's described, and how that Abram had the victory over it all. He had the victory. And how that Melchizedek came, and he gave tithes to Melchizedek. This is what a lost man did. This lost man, Abram, knew that God was with him. Sometimes we get the idea that God is not with any lost man. Let me tell you something. God is with lost people. He's the one that kept me alive until I was saved. He's the one that still keeps me alive. God's God. In chapter 15 and verse number 1, Abram has a problem. Because the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I'm thy exceedingly great reward." And Abram, he said, "Yeah, but I don't have any children except this one guy that stood in my house here." And verse number 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said," and I say what? This happened at night. In verse 5, this happened at night. It wasn't in the daytime. But it happened. You know why I know it happened at night? Because the Bible says that. He said, "And brought him forth abroad, and said, and then look toward heaven and tell the stars." When the stars out? When can you see a star? In the daytime or nighttime? Well, nighttime. It's got to be kind of a clear night, but you can see stars at night. "If thou be able to number them," and he said, "so shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. This is when the Lord was saved. This is when Abram was saved. But Abram didn't have the promise yet. But he would have it. In chapter 15, there was a sacrifice given. But notice in verse number 11 that Abram, because he believed God, he was one that drove the fowls away. He's the one that did that. And then in verse 12 down to the end of the chapter, this is when Abram received this great promise, prophecy of God about the future generations. And he was saved at that point. All right. In chapter 16 begins with this thought. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Well, so they were childless, and God's promise was to Abraham and Sarah that they would have children. Notice in chapter 17, this is when God changed the name of Abram to Abraham. And he also changed the name of Sarah, or Sarai, to Sarah. In Genesis 17 and verse number 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." So God hasn't changed His mind at all. I mean, Abram has changed. He's now been saved. He believes in the Lord. And he is full of doing what God wants him to do. But like us, boy, he stumbles and falls. And what's that all about? It's showing us that it's by God's own grace that we're kept. Sure. In Genesis 17, in verse number 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless thee." In verse 17, the Bible said that Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. Notice this. Notice how chapter 17, verse number 1, how it starts out. It says there that Abram was 90 years old and 9. He was 99. His name was still Abram. His name was changed then. But then, in verse number 17, the Bible said that Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born and him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child?" That won't happen. It did happen. It did. But look in Genesis 17 and verse number 23. "And Abraham," here again, "Abraham took Ishmael his son." Abraham is beginning to believe now. He's beginning to put into practice the things that God wants him to do. How long has it been? He was 75 years old when God began to call him out of the land of the Chaldees. He was 75 years old. Now he's 100 years old. So it's been 25 years. "He took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were born with his money, that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him." Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. It was then, in chapter 18, that Abraham was sitting in his tent door in heat of the day, and he fed the men that came to him. The men that came to him that were going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy those cities. So here's the thing. God is well able to bless and curse. God's well able to do that. I want to be on the blessing side. I must obey what the Lord wants me to obey. And here in chapter 18 is when Abraham fed these two people from God. And they said that Sarah shall bear a son. That's in verse number 10. And what did Sarah do? Listen, she did exactly the same thing that Abraham did. Abraham laughed. We read that to you. And now Sarah is also laughing in verse number 12. "Sarah therefore laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" She said, "I didn't laugh." God knew better. He sees the heart. I tell you what, God knows exactly what you're thinking. It's kind of nerve-wracking sometimes. Sometimes it's kind of scary. But listen, God knows what you're thinking. And we need to be right before God, God Almighty, because He is the only one that can bless. He's the only one that can do that. You see, when the Bible says that God will bless, then He will. But in chapter 19, this is the time when these two men, two angels, they came to Sodom, and there was Lot sitting there, and there he is. And they faced sudden destruction. Now, back in Romans 4, and understand what he's talking about here. In Romans 4, when he says, in verse number 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Remember again, in verse number 2 of Romans 14, the Bible said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. People today might brag about how good they are or how much they've done for God. But I tell you what, that's vain. That is emptiness. If you, as a saved person, if you could give every bit of your life to the Lord, you would still not give enough. If you would spend all of your time, all of your energy, if you spend all of your money doing what God wants you to do, it would still not be enough. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the truth. How in the world does a person ever think that they can add to the salvation God gives them? I don't get that. I don't get it at all. I've talked to people that are Church of Christ, and they're convinced. They are convinced that their baptism adds something to them, making them acceptable unto God. Listen, no. All I can say is, I was saved, gloriously saved, before I was ever baptized. I know that. I know that the Lord saved my soul before I was ever baptized. I know that. You know why I know that? Because Christ saved me. Pure and simple. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't. Abraham couldn't save himself either. He's in the same boat that the rest of us in. But Abraham had many instructions from God. You know what? God told me a few things too that I should do. He said, you better mind your mom and daddy. He said, you better stay away from sin. He told me all that when I was lost. He said, you need to do what I'm telling you to do. He told me that when I was lost. And there it is. But to God be the glory. It's not anything I've done. No, salvation is a gift that God has given to me. Listen, read this Romans 4. Read this, please. Just get this. That there's only two ways of salvation. And I'm saying that wrong, I know. There's only two plans. That's the plan of work, and that's the plan of trusting Christ. That's all there is. I mean, look at this. In verse number 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And that's it. You see, salvation is given to us as a gift from God. It's a gift, not something we work for. Not something we earn. It's not something that we even deserve at all. God simply blesses us with salvation. It's not because I'm good. It's because He's good to me. I mean, that's the only way it is. That's it. That's the bottom line. Notice your further, verse number 5. Romans 4, verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, how was you saved? You think about this. How, you say you're saved. How were you saved? By something you did? Were you saved by praying? I tell you what, prayer didn't do me no good at all. Not one bit of good. Didn't do it. I tried it. It didn't work. I tried being a good boy. Well, that didn't work either. I tell you what, the only thing that worked, really worked, was when I admitted to the Lord that I was no good at all and I should go to hell. But plain and simple. I didn't have anything at all to give. Not one thing did I have to offer to Him. Not one thing. I tried at one point to convince the Lord that I was a good boy and that since I was a deacon's son and had my daddy count the money after we got home from church in the night, that I was a good boy. He didn't believe none of that stuff. It didn't cut any ice at all with the Lord. He is one that saved me. Look at verse number 5. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Here's the thing. Are you ungodly? Are you ungodly? That's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? It was tough for me. Because I was a good boy, I thought. But I wasn't a good boy. You might think that you are a good person as well. But how do you stack up before God? I mean, before the omnipotent, supreme God who knows you and everything. He knows everything. He knows everything you have done. It's just like, it's just clear to Him. You can't hide from God. Even if you are hiding in the dark, God has got great big eyes. He can see in the dark. He knows what you're doing. He knows that. You see. That's why that coming down to it is that we have to have somebody take our place. And the one that took our place is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the literal Son of the living God. He's the one that took our place. Look at this. In verse number 6 of Romans 4, verse number 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man on whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 6 and verse 7. Where is that? If you would look in Psalms 32, and you'll find here where David said this very thing. In Psalms 32, verse 1 and verse number 2. So, Paul is quoting Scripture here. And he's telling the people what David, the inspired writer, said in Psalms 32, in verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You won't be blessed. Well, you can be. But the only way you can ever be blessed is just simply to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept His free gift of salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing to ever come along. I mean, you have to live in this life. And this is a bleak life, really. I mean, I'm saying all that because if you watch the news at all, I mean, it is bleak. It is really bleak. All my life, on the news, all my life, it's just like this on the news. So-and-so killed somebody. So-and-so did this wrong. So-and-so did that wrong. I get tired of looking at that stuff. But that's the way the news is. News is bad. Because the world is full of sinners. Wicked, lost people are killing each other. Sometimes saved people kill saved people. That's true. I mean, there's a lot of wickedness in this world. We need the Lord to bless. Only He can watch over us. Only He can do it. You see, in verse 8, in Romans 4, verse number 8, blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute. And the word impute there means count. Alright? So what's count against you? Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4 and verse number 8. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not count sin. That's a real blessing. When God doesn't count us as a sinner. You know what salvation is? It's a free gift. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. We don't even deserve it. But God graciously supplies us with salvation. That's where it is. But this is the 13th time that this phrase, blessed is the man, shows up in the Scriptures. It's been I've enjoyed the study myself. I trust that you have. I pray that you have seen, as we've gone through these 13 different times, how good it really is, and how much that God loves us and He cares for us, and how that we can really be blessed if we just do what God says to do. So just study these 13 times, and I think you'll find, as I have found, that it's a real blessing. It's just a real honor to know that the God of creation looks upon me and He gives me His blessings. That's really, really a great thing. Okay? We'll stop right there. You're lost tonight. We pray for you that the Lord would make it real to you, that you might see Jesus Christ precious to your own soul tonight. Okay, Brother Tim? Please. Let's stand as we sing, please. We pray that the Lord will help tonight. If you're lost, you find it difficult to admit before God. Listen, God will never save you until you come to the place of realizing that without Him, you're lost. I mean, that's it. You're lost. And you will spend eternity in hell, even though you might attend this church, you might be raised by Christian parents, but you are an individual person, and you're different. You need Jesus Christ to save your unworthy soul. And God is well able to do that. Okay? We pray for you tonight that God will bless you, that you might be saved. Okay, brother?